Welcome, listeners of First and Exciting Podcast Section by CC Hub. I am your host, Victory Ihekwome, and I am the Community Associate at School Creation Hub here in Nigeria. So for our first podcast, we'll be diving into what it takes in choosing a co-founder for your startups, that's the do's and don'ts of choosing a co-founder for your startups. And also, we'll have the pleasure of hosting Adegun Oluwatobi, the driving force behind Credly Africa. Did I pronounce it well?
Yeah, Credly.
Yeah, Credly Africa. So he's also going to tell us his journey as a visionary founder and also his groundbreaking startup as well. So to kick things off, could you give us the honor of introducing yourself and also enlightening our listeners about your role and about your startup?
Awesome. Thank you, Victor, for having me. So I'm Oluwatobi, the CEO and co-founder of Credly. I'm a two-time founder. Started my career as an entrepreneur shortly after university. And the journey took a leap when I and my co-founder had a startup called Meditel, which was a drug reminder solution. I and my friend Osawan then co-founded it. We had a grand vision, but unfortunately, the way we planned it, it didn't go as expected. But, you know, we always learn from failures. Mm-hmm. Then my journey took me to get a paid employment at Rainsource Energy, then later to Sabi Africa. I was part of the Insightful venture, which taught me a lot of valuable lessons about leadership, innovation, business growth. Then shortly after then, I and my co-founder started Credly, where that's what we're presently doing. And at Credly, what we're just trying to do is we're trying to revolutionize the landscape of employee benefits and rewards. We basically recognize the crucial need for personalized and flexible benefits that will truly resonate with the modern employees in Nigeria. This, we noticed that in the conventional employee benefit space, one size fits all doesn't work. So we decided to address these diverse needs and preferences for today's workforce, which made us create a comprehensive platform that empowers companies to provide benefits and rewards tailored towards their employees' unique lifestyle. We created a benefit hub, financial hub, learning and development, and celebration hub, which basically addresses what today's employees need.
Thank you so much, Toby, for letting us know the problem your startup is trying to solve, right? So what you highlighted are basically what your startup is trying to solve. That's very, very impressive. So now let's talk about your inspiration. You know, most co-founders, they either get their inspiration from maybe a role model, or they get their inspiration from somewhere or from someone, or maybe they get their inspiration from basically anywhere. So we want to know what inspired you to take on this challenge to build this solution. Most people can't take up challenges to be a co-founder, to be a founder, because the work that comes with being a founder and a co-founder is a lot. You understand? You have to build a startup from scratch. Sometimes you have failed partnership, failed collaboration. Sometimes most of your ideas don't come into light because of challenges you're facing in the ecosystem. So what inspired you that despite all these challenges that comes with having a startup, you still push to want to be a founder? So what was your inspiration? Where did you get your inspiration from?
Wonderful question. I would say, well, the Credly journey actually started from an experience in my former place of work where I found out that a lot of employees will work better if they are being motivated. And we found out that a lot of employees don't rely right now on just salary, financial, they want more. So, but actually, Credly started as a salary advance product, which quickly evolved later, basically based on feedbacks, to a more comprehensive benefit. And the motivation behind that was just to empower employees. We wanted employees to feel appreciated. We want employees to feel celebrated individually. So that really drove us into saying, let us build a platform platform where companies can rely on to motivate their employees.
Okay. That's good. That's an interesting one. So I know that trying to bring your idea, like the Credly Africa, the whole idea around your startup, trying to bring it to the market can be, it's always intriguing, you understand? The journey from your idea to the market, then it's your target audience. It comes with a lot of, and what word should I use? Can you help me out? It comes with a lot of, there's a particular word I'm looking for.
What, challenges?
Yes, because it's not easy to, you know, it's not easy to have partners on board. It's not easy to have people that are ready to like help also assist in funding your startup. So from the journey of concept to marketing is always intriguing. So how has the market responded? How has the market, have your users responded to your product so far?
The market response has actually been overwhelmingly positive since we launched. And even basically before we launched, we got a lot of companies interested on our wait list. I think right now companies understand what employee benefits is. Basically, they already know that it's beyond just salary and HMO, which most companies give out to their employees right now. They found out that, oh, there's an innovative approach to which we could actually address this issue. And we bringing that solution out was something they appreciated, and they were able to key very fast into it. HR firms and payroll systems are also even requesting for our APIs because they see the need for it. It resonates with what they are also trying to build, especially our PECS feature. Our PECS feature is ability to be able to purchase products from international brands with your Naira wallet. So basically, if you want to shop from ASOS or Amazon, you will need your dollar card, right? Yes. But with a solution, you basically don't need a dollar card. From your wallet, you could purchase a voucher and go to Amazon, ASOS, any international store and check out with it. So it's solved a lot of problems where employees see that, oh, I want to, this is a pain point for me. And because I'm an employee of this company, I get to enjoy this kind of benefit. So the market actually accepted what we offered to solve, which has been quite good. We actually, our specific company goal has been evolving, and we aim to hit at least 100,000 users by the end of Q4, which will basically solidify our presence as a leader in the employee benefit sector.
That's amazing. So moving forward, we know that as a founder, you go through various journeys, you understand. For instance, let's say your journey as a founder, you meet with other co-founders, you collaborate with other co-founders, you attend tech events, you meet interesting, smart, intelligent people who also share the same vision and mission as you. So what's the major highlights that has stand out as your experience as a co-founder?
Well, my journey as a co-founder, alongside with my incredible team at Credly, has basically, I've numerous rewarding moments. The most profound highlight has been witnessing the positive transformation that our platform brings to both companies and employees. It's truly gratifying to observe what our product has been able to change in the workplace culture, heightened employee engagement, and enhanced the individual well-being that our solution solves. And collaborating with a talented team like ours, we've been able to see the direct impact, how tangible it has been in reshaping the employee benefits landscape, which has been a source of pride to us.
So when you're not working, when you're not being a co-founder, when you're not in that, oh, I want to work, I need to do this, I need to do that. What else do you do?
Basically,
when you're not in the space of achieve a particular goal, maybe say, what you do after being a co-founder, like what's the one thing? besides being a co-founder?
Yeah, I mentor and also I run an NGO with a team, two NGOs. One is Okemesi Book Drive, which is towards education, how to alleviate, how to encourage the kids in the rural areas to go to school, and also Feed the Family, which is towards hunger.
Okay.
It's solving hunger. So basically, we go for outreaches to try and provide food to the people, to people on the streets. And apart from that, I also mentor. So I mentor on different platforms, younger startups trying to come up, trying to move from that phase of idea stage to actually conceptualizing their startup. So yes, that's what I do outside my day to day.
Interesting. That's very interesting. As a founder of a startup, and you are looking forward to having a co-founder in your team, because at the end of the day, you need startup operators who are at the back of you, also making your vision to come into light. So as a founder, when seeking a co-founder, what attributes do you look out for? You know, what attributes do you look at for, oh, this person has to be my team, this person also shares my vision and my goals. So what attributes do you actually look at for when seeking a co-founder?
Olumide Soyombo once shared a piece of wisdom with my team some years ago, which is make sure you want to marry your co-founders before you start a company. It was very funny at that time, but later on, I got to understand better what it meant. Number one is make sure your co-founder has the same shared vision and values with you. Co-founders should be united in understanding that this is the startup's vision and mission. Just like a marriage, a strong marriage is built on shared values, right? A successful startup will thrive when the co-founders are aligned in that purpose. So one, I'll first say is have a shared vision and value. Then two, commitment and dedication. Great vision without great people is irrelevant. And in seeking a co-founder, they must know wholeheartedly the dedication to the long-term journey of building the startup. They should know that startup is not a sprint, it is a marathon. So you should be able to know that, this person is committed for the long run. Not, in 2 months' time, let me just run this for 2 months. If it doesn't work, I'm out of this ship. Then three, complementary skills. What am I good at? What is this person good at? It doesn't make sense if you get a co-founder that you both have similar skills. So what is the differentiating factor? What else is it bringing to the table? If I'm a marketing person and I'm also bringing a marketing person to join my startup, what will two marketers cannot develop an app? So you need to get a complementary skilled person that will help you. Trust and compatibility. You need to trust the person. This is a partnership. If I can't trust this person I'm bringing on board to be my co-founder, then there is no need for me bringing it. Co-founders must not only trust, actually, but they must be compatible in their working style and approach to problems. I will also say problem solving and resilience. Startup is a roller coaster, to be honest. Different challenges from different stages. You need to be able to assess how the potential co-founder will tackle problems and setbacks, because definitely it's going to happen. It's not just a easy ride all through. I have about 10. Then network and connections. What is this person bringing to the table? Can this person open doors when we have issues that needs to be tackled? How resourceful is this person? What is it? What is the growth opportunity this person is bringing? Just how can I leverage, if I'm bringing you as a co-founder, what networks do you have that we could leverage on to move the startup forward? Then shared work ethics. Shared work ethics ensures all co-founders are pulling in the same direction. It won't make sense if you bring in a co-founder who is a lazy co-founder, whereby you are bringing this person on board to come and complement your skills, to come and assist, to come and take, or to reduce the workload on you, but the person isn't doing it. The person is lagging behind. It creates a friction between co-founders. So you want to look at the person that you're trying to bring on board. How is this person's work ethics? Can this person maintain a consistent drive towards success? Then also experience and track record. You will want to bring in a co-founder who has a proven track record in the particular industry you're building for. What has this person's experience been? Can this person provide invaluable insights and guide the startup towards informed decisions? Remember that you don't know it all. That's why you're bringing in an assistant to help you. So you need to be sure that this person has the experience to actually deliver on what you want the person to deliver. Then also financial alignment. It's still a startup. You're still trying to grow. Financial matters will definitely come up. If you don't address it before you bring in this person into on board, you need to ensure that you and your co-founder are aligned on financial commitments. Are we still bootstrapping? Okay, if we're bootstrapping, how much are you bringing on board? How much is this person bringing on board? Because definitely you will need funds to push your startup. So if financial commitments are not spoken about earlier on, it's going to be a big issue down the road. You also need to talk about equity distribution, financial arrangements to avoid future conflicts. Then I will say, lastly, problem solving and conflict resolution. You need to know that disagreements will come on board. You both will not align on the way you want to tackle this problem. You need to know that, let me look for a co-founder who approaches conflicts with a solution-oriented mindset, which is very, very key. Solution-oriented mindset. Seeking input from an external person that could serve like as a coach who could help. I'm not saying it might help in all situations, but seeking an external coach or a mentor in your industry that could weigh in on some issues or guidance can also be a great avenue to solve resolutions.
Let's look at the scenario now, because you've actually given 14, 15 points on the attributes you should look at for when choosing a co-founder. So yeah. Let's look at this scenario where you as a founder, you have two people that you are looking out for to be your co-founder. And maybe one is a family friend and the other is a friend who obviously you know his or her field of line of career. And then that's your friend. One person has four or three attributes. Then the other has let's say eight. Because at the end of the day, you don't actually expect this person to have everything. At least person should have 90%. You understand? So in this scenario, who would you choose? You have a family friend who wants to be a co-founder. You have someone you just met randomly, but at the same time, he or she both have the same skills. So who would you go for? Who would you choose as a co-founder? What would you look out for? What would you look out for between these two people? That would make you be this person doesn't have this person has this. I feel like what this person has is better than what this person has. So I should go for this person.
So so we have two people. One, a random person who has same attributes with a family friend.
Yeah.
In this scenario, I think what makes sense for you is actually to go with the person that you already know. Because definitely if you say the person is a family friend, that means you've known the person for some number of years than a random person. Because as I said, you need somebody, for you considering the family friend, that means definitely the person has maybe some shared values and vision and maybe some skills. You will want to go with the family friend that you've known for some time, because you will actually know the person's full character than a random person. I always look at people that just randomly tweet and it works sometimes. It might not work in all situations I'm looking for a co-founder who wants to co-found this business with me. It goes beyond that. It's just like you saying, I'm looking for a wife who wants to marry me, and you pick the person. Because at the end of the day, you don't know the person you are joining in. If the person is on your cap table, once the person is on your cap table, you are in bed with the person for life. And if the person begins to show his negative side of life or his character, you can't keep the person off your captive. You can kick the person off, but it's going to be a messy show. You have difficulty in raising funds. Investors might want to run away from you because definitely your house is not in order. Why will I come and invest in your business? So definitely you have a problem down the line. I will always suggest go with the person that you know. you've known this person. It could be your co-worker that you've worked with for 3-4 years. You know the person's character. You know the person's attitude to work. You know that, oh, this person can deliver. Then just a random person that, oh, because you've just seen, oh, this person has some good characters. Oh, we can work together. We can build something together. I won't advise that.
Currently, do you have a co-founder?
Yeah, funny enough, I have four.
Okay.
We have.
How come you have four co-founders?
Sorry?
How come you have four co-founders?
So it's quite interesting because we all met at different stages in this journey. First started with two, then a third came in. Basically, I found out that I couldn't do it all alone. I needed, if I want to build a strong team while bootstrapping, I need a strong team. And to get in people that are skilled, that can deliver on what we're trying to build, on the big vision of what we're trying to build, I need to get in experienced people. I won't, as a bootstrap business, I might not be able to pay them their current value in the market. So the best option was to bring them on board after every other check has been done. So it just made sense to just bring these people's skills. And basically, their skills has pivoted greatly, greatly in what we've been able to achieve so far.
So hence, you are good in having four co-founders.
Yeah, very well. I think it might not happen, basically, depending on how your startup evolves. Yeah. But basically, I think every startup should have a co-founder. Basically, you can't be the only one making all the decisions yourself, because definitely you see a problem from your own angle. Bringing in another person that is a co-founder, the person you are bringing in as a co-founder has interest in the business. He wants the business to grow. So in tackling problems from his own angle will be quite different. Now, let me give you an example. If we're looking at products, before we add a product co-founder, or before we add a product person on board, I tackle, and the developers, we tackle the issues from the technical point of view. We're basically not looking at it from a maybe business or a user point of view. But bringing in another person made things balance. Oh, while we're looking at it this way, this person is giving another suggestion. So it's more or less like a balance. You are able to see that, oh, this person is bringing a lot of value to this business.
All right. So I want to ask you one question. Something just came to my mind, and I would love to ask you this particular question. We know for startups to thrive, we have the founder, we have the co-founder, and we have people that work behind the scenes, which are the startup operators, the product designer, the product manager, the data analyst. Do you think these people that work behind the scenes also ensure that the vision of the startup is being brought to life? Do you feel like they are being recognized, or do you feel like they are recognized or they are not recognized? Because most of them don't get the recognition they are supposed to get. Because at the end of the day, startups can't really function with those startup operators that work behind the scenes. So do you feel like these people actually get the kind of recognition they want, and should they also get the recognition they should get?
That question is quite relative, because when you say recognition, I as an employee, what I want as a recognition might be different from what the company sees as recognition. Right. But I think there is maybe a balance or a midpoint for everything. I think, and that is my own belief and the belief of my other co-founders, is everybody on the team should be appreciated, should be recognized for what their input they've done. Basically, we are all humans. Kindness should be one of the first things that's our mind. If this person is delivering or the person is not delivering, you should still recognize the person, because if the person is not delivering, maybe because he doesn't have the tools or he's not in the right team to actually make him thrive. But that doesn't mean he shouldn't be given the opportunity to thrive. I feel everybody, from the data person to the product manager to the product owner, everyone is bringing one or two things to the success of that business. Every one of them should be should be appreciated and recognized accordingly.
All right, thank you so much, Toby. So I'm also asking this question, if you can step into entrepreneurship. I know they both step. Not everyone wants to be an entrepreneur. Some people prefer to work for other people. So you, as an entrepreneur, taking the both step, what signaled or what made you know that you already take on the role of a founder, be a founder to lead people? What was the signal? What made you feel like you were ready for this?
I would say, I don't know if I got any signal, but basically from my uni days, I've been an entrepreneur, just doing one or two small things in university. Then shortly when I came out of university, I also did entrepreneurship. I think I've just been in that space. But I think what most importantly was, I was able to find a balance in everything. When I found out that, entrepreneurship wasn't working for me, I was able to get a paid job. And when I got a paid job, I was able to learn a lot of valuable lessons, leadership, growth, managing stakeholders. Maybe at that point, I just found out that, it's time for me to have a pivot to build Credly. Credly has been on top of my mind from a very long time. So I just found out that maybe, let me just start. So I don't really see there is actually a moment whereby I found out that, let me do this.
So what advice would you give to entrepreneurs that are trying to, have their own startup and maybe things are not really working well for them when it comes to funding, when it comes to meeting the right target or the right markets? What advice would you give them? Would you suggest that, they should take a break and get a paid job like you made mention, or they should, they should keep pushing? So what advice would you give to these entrepreneurs?
First, I will not say keep pushing. Let's be realistic. I'll say if your startup isn't getting traction and you have no means of survival, that is, it's not putting food on your table. You need to put food on the table. I think you should get a paid job. Get something that brings food to the table. My former boss used to say something. There are different ways you can fund your business. Either you raise funds, you get a paid job, and you fund it with your salary. And when you feel, it's moving to some point of revenue, you're getting traction, you probably got funding before you can now resign to start to face the startup fully. I mean, an hungry person, if you are hungry, you will not be able to focus on your startup. You will not even be able to make important decisions. So I think if you have a startup that is struggling, you're not able to raise money, you're not getting visible traction, I think you need to go back to the drawing board to see what works, what do I really need to do? Should I put it on hold? Maybe different factors, actually. Maybe the market is not ready for you. Maybe you don't have the right solutions. Maybe you're in a space that's too competitive. That means there are better solutions than what you have. So you really need to go back to the drawing table to analyze what is going wrong. Why is my business not growing? Then either put it on a pause, get a job. You'll be able to get some money that you can be able to, I can set this aside for my salary. If your salary is quite good, save this as part of my salary, use it to push the startup. And when you get some traction, you're able to raise some money there, you cannot resign. But I always feel before you resign to face your startup squarely, make sure that you are good financially. Because if you're not good financially, your business will struggle.
Before we come to the end of this podcast, as a founder and also your startup, what efforts do you concentrate more in your business? Like, what's the key aspect in your business? We have founders that have various startups, and obviously they concentrate on one particular thing in their startup, one particular aspect in their startup. So for you, what's the key aspect that you concentrate on with
Credly
Africa?
I think right now things have changed. Basically, early days of Credly, I was practically into everything. But right now, since I have people in my co-founders in key positions, I just mainly focus on steering the business strategically by working closely with the rest of the team to define our vision, mission, and goals. which involves basically shaping our product roadmap, identifying target markets, managing relationship with stakeholders, which includes investors and clients, basically negotiation. Basically, as the CEO, I just try to maintain a positive company culture and nurture our team's growth is top priority for me. Also, I'm hands-on on hiring, very hands-on. Basically, we're still a relative small team, less than 100. I need to know that, we are hiring top talents that have the passion for what they are coming to do. Then also risk identification and mitigation, very integral for my role, and trying to stay informed with industry shifts, putting the company and the brand in the good light out there. Yeah. Ultimately, I'll just say ensuring the company operates smoothly, driving growth, innovation, and success while upholding our mission.
All right, Obi. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for sharing your insights and your journey with us today. So before we wrap this up, do you have like a key takeaway that you would love to share to our listeners who are also entrepreneurs and who are also looking on choosing co-founders as well? Is there any key takeaway you would love to share with them, or you would love for them to live with, you understand? So to be in their head that, this is what Tobiloba said, and I'm going to work in
this
business. Do you
understand? Do you have any? Okay, yes. I think I'll just summarize by saying every founder should remember that getting a co-founder is not like employing or contracting a job. It's I would relate it to marriage. It's a solid marriage, which under legal terms, you'll find yourself in a very similar agreement setup. Most likely you sign more documents with your co-founder than your real life spouse. So you will want to be careful in choosing who you want to get in bed with. Starting a startup takes at least 3 years before you get a product market fit, and possibly another 7 years to know if it's going to actually survive or last a lifetime. So you want to take it very, very serious. Remember, it's legal and it's binding. Once the person is your co-founder and you sign documents and all, it's legal. You can't just wake up tomorrow and say, I want you out of my business. It doesn't work that way. So you will want to get a co-founder that can make the worst times feel fun and bearable. Believe me, there are times that you will want to quit. You will just say you're tired because maybe things are not working the way you want. The market is not responding the way you want. But the best co-founders will sit with you at the bottom of the pit on your lowest days, and they will tell you it's okay. It's going to be okay. Things are going to be fine. We just need to keep thriving. And what's more, your relationship with your co-founder can determine the success or the failure of your business. Thank you, Victor.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Toby. I really, really enjoyed this section. You've given us, you've shared so much insight and you've shared your journey with us today. So we would love for you to want to follow Crazy Africa. If our listeners are listening to this podcast, don't know, how will I be able to reach out to Credly Africa? Do they have like a social media account, an Instagram or Twitter? So we would love for you to like tell us your Instagram, Twitter, social media handle, so at least they can look out, what is Credly all about? At least they can take their time to make research on Credly as well. So
yes, I think on Instagram and Twitter is Get Credly. Instagram, Twitter, yes, Get Credly, Credly. Yeah, and LinkedIn is Credly. So Instagram, Twitter, Get Credly. The Credly is Credly, and LinkedIn is just Credly.
All right, thank you so much, Oliver Toby. So it's really, really nice talking to you, and it's really, really nice hearing from you on choosing a co-founder, do's and don'ts. I hope you had an amazing time today.
It was fun, actually. Thank you for having me.
So our listeners, always remember that startup story is a test for innovation and determination. So yeah,
it's good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day, and I wish you all the best with your startups.
Thank you so much. Bye.